I want to welcome you to Dream Chasers Radio with me, your host, Yaya Diamond. What's up, peoples? How you doing? Oh my gosh. If it hasn't been a day, it has been a day, and the day isn't over yet. But I have the best guest that's going to take me away and shoot me away like Calgon. If you've ever remembered that one, Calgon, take me away. I'm really literally thinking about going to get some Calgon, guys. I am not kidding you. But right now, we have an amazing guest on the show. Christian is on the show, and I hope I said that right. And we're going to be talking about her business, her services, TV shows. I mean, she's got everything going on right now. Girlfriend, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Yaya. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, me too. I'm so excited as well. So tell me about yourself.
Oh, well, I have a long, complex story, but I guess kind of sum up who I am or what I do is I am a teacher who left the field of education. I like to say that maybe I was ahead of the trend of all the teachers that are leaving education right now, but I recently got my doctorate from Johns Hopkins University looking at student mental health in the education setting. And that was after years of being a special education classroom teacher, starting a program for students with mental health needs. And I realized there needed to be something more than what was being done in schools right now, that our youth were not getting the support, were not being identified, were not being helped, and essentially being able to really get suited in a way that they could leave school and take on the world and just be all that they could be. And they were kind of being left behind because that mental health piece wasn't being accounted for. A lot of our students too, who are neurodiverse. And when I say neurodiverse, that autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyscalculia, sensory processing disorder, were a lot of our students who were experiencing mental health needs as well. So I felt like I needed to leave the field of education, at least in the classroom setting, so that I could do something more. And I think a little bit of my backstory connects with that. Not only was I a special education teacher, but I have, you know, like everybody in the world has dealt with their personal triumphs, trials, things that have impacted them as an individual. I've seen things as a teacher who worked with students with mental health needs and really seen the impact that can have in their day-to-day lives and on them as a person. And I felt called to really need to step out and kind of have a bigger platform. So the work that I do now is working as an education consultant advocate for families with students with mental health needs. Parents consult with me. I go to meetings with them. I help them go through the process. I make sure that their child is getting the supports and services that they need. I do that through a Winefield Education Group, where I'm a partner and I oversee their social and emotional services for that consultancy firm. And then I have the Neurodiverse Teacher podcast, which is kind of my brand, where I'm constantly sending out ideas about, you know, how to be a more functional person who has neurodiverse tendencies. I'm ADHD myself. I talk really fast. I have lots of ideas. You'll see this through our interview, that I have like a million things going on because my brain is never stopping. But as the neurodiverse teacher, I have a podcast where I bring on different people who are also trying to influence youth mental health needs, support those who are neurodiverse. I also am getting ready to be on a television show called The Blocks, which is an entrepreneurship television show, which surprised me. I don't know that I was expecting to be selected at all for that, but I'm really excited because I see it as an opportunity to continue building my business, building my practice, which, you know, I just started this a year ago, leaving education. It was a big leap of faith to do it, and it was incredibly scary to do. And I'm really excited because I feel like this is a message that's really important, and understanding how mental health is impacting our youth, who is our future, to me is a big message that I want other people to hear and understand that we can't continue to just kind of address it at a surface level. We've got to get a little bit deeper with it.
Definitely, definitely. I totally agree with you. You know, you said ADHD, you said that you have so many different things going on. You kind of like labeled me. Maybe I am ADHD. I don't know.
You might be, and you know what? I think for so long, things like ADHD has gotten this bad rap. You know, it's attention deficit disorder.
I am, yeah.
it's not a disorder the way I think that, yeah, my brain is got all these different things going on. Sometimes I hyper-focus and sometimes I burn myself out, but I also look at it as like, I'm really passionate. I get really excited. I'm very creative. I have different ideas. And I want so many people to understand, either even if you are neurodiverse or if you're not neurodiverse, the power that neurodiversity has. I think so many students who are neurodiverse get these negative messages that something is wrong with them, that something is wrong with the way that they learn, or, you know, that they're not working at the same level as their peers, when they're just not part of that one size fits all box that school and education is. Like, they're more creative. Their thinking is at a higher level. It's different. You're seeing the world in a different way. And instead of giving kids these negative messages that, oh, well, you should be able to do this. No, like, celebrate what they can do and what they can achieve and what they are capable of. And we've got to stop with these disorders and really look at, this is just a different way of brain functioning. This is a different way that our brain processes things, and really start pumping these kids up for all the things that they can do. Because a lot of people who are neurodiverse are incredibly intelligent, like cure cancer type of intelligence, but they spend so many years in their youth getting these messages that something's wrong with them, that it almost takes them till they're 30 or 40 years old to finally go, oh, wait, maybe I'm not as, you know, stupid as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not stupid at all. Maybe I'm really smart. Maybe I'm really good at these things. But why does it need to take them until they're in their 30s or 40s for that light bulb to finally go off? Because they were like undoing all of that trauma of that got associated with the messages they were receiving in school. And I saw you pointing at yourself. So I feel like you understand what that's like. And it's just so disappointing that we're not setting these kids up to come out of school and be like, I'm amazing and I can take on the world and I can do whatever I want to do. They now have to spend the next decade finding themselves or building that confidence piece back up. And it's not necessary.
You shouldn't. And the biggest thing I found is that, you know, I am different. I am. I literally am different. I don't fit in a lot of times. And I really want to fit in. Like, I really want to, but I don't. And so I know I'm different. I have a million things going in my brain. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can't sleep because a million things just won't stop going. Yep. I walk into a room and be like, okay, focus. Mm-hmm. One thing. Just pick that one thing. Look at that.
I mean, how many times, let me ask you this question. How many times have you been working on something and you're like, ooh, I got to make sure I got to do this today. And then you move on to something else. And then you completely forget about that something else that you knew that you reminded yourself. Hey, I got to remember to do this later. But the second, and I mean, I literally have had it where I'm walking into a room to go and do something, but I've already decided on something else. And I completely forget whatever that task was that I initially went into that room for.
Me.
But I bet you can get a million things done. I bet when you sit down and you're like, I got to get through this stuff, you probably can produce work at a much higher rate than somebody who is not neurodiverse. You can probably get like a week's worth of work done in probably 8 hours.
Yeah.
Is it healthy? Maybe not, but can you do it? Absolutely.
You can. Healthy. Yeah. No, my burnout is next week. Mm-hmm. Next week is going to be my burnout. I have burnout dates. So every 3 to 4 weeks I go to an amusement park.
And you know, that's healthy though, because I
completely detach. Like, look, this is the day where nobody can reach me. Don't call me. I'm unavailable. Bye. Mm-hmm. I'm off the map. I'm 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone.
Yeah, you're sounding like you're part of the crowd here. Welcome to the neurodiverse community.
Oh my gosh. Here. Yeah, no, I can get a million things done in one day. And it's like, my husband's like, I don't see how you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Because people who are neurotypical, their brain doesn't function that way. And so the idea of us doing or working at the rate that we are just does seem like crazy to people whose brains don't work that way. And, you know, I don't look at one being superior to the other. Right. I just see them as two different ways that your brain works. Like, one person's brain works this way, the other person's brain works this way. But the problem with education is, it's only set up for the person who has that neurotypical brain. Yeah. It is not accounting for the other type of brains. And when it does account for those brains, it's being accounted for in terms of the there's something wrong with you. You have a disorder. Yeah. You're not learning correctly. And that's not true. It's not true. It's just a different way of learning. It's not that there's something wrong with the way that you learn or process information. Because I bet that you, when you get on a topic or something that you're interested in, you're probably an expert on it. Like, you know it probably better than anyone else and in a very short period of time.
Yeah, very short. Mm-hmm. Very, very short. That's why I can do these interviews so good, because it's like, okay, so I can see somebody's stuff, review it, and then right before the interview, review it again. It's like, whoop, load. It's like a load. It's like everything that I reviewed, just, you know, I can memorize. I'm a singer, so I can memorize about 150 to 250 songs without looking at them.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's a load. It's like the first note of a song loads the entire song in my brain. Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest thing ever. And I can't figure it out, but I never try to. And my mom never had me diagnosed because she's like, she's just super smart in the areas that she's super smart in. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love for the school system to actually offer something where if you have a subject like, okay, so if you have a subject like computer, mm-hmm. for someone like me, computer means more than just open it up, set it up, and let's go through one thing at a time. No, with me, it's like, okay, wait, there are branches to this. If there is a computer, then there might be a mouse. Okay, so is the mouse connected or is it Bluetooth? We got to go through the whole thing. I can't just mm-hmm. go through the one. Okay, so when we get past that and I learn the mouse, I'm like, okay, but wait, what does the mouse do? I have to learn all of this at one time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't just learn the one. You can't just teach me one thing. How to get on the internet? No, you can't tell me that because now I have to do Facebook. I have to do Instagram. I have to do all of this. And it's like, okay, wait, if you're going to teach me one thing, you got to actually have the one thing. And that one thing has to have the branches. And we're going to learn all of that right now. Otherwise I'm going to be bored and I'm not going to learn anything.
Yep. And that's what happens to a lot of kids who are neurodiverse in school, that same thing that you just described, and they don't teach it that way. So what happens, and what happens when you get bored, right? When you're bored because
I shut off. Lesson,
right. You're not engaged, you're spaced out, it's whatever. And then the teacher thinks, oh, Yaya's not paying attention, or Yaya's not following along, or she doesn't get, which is not the case. It's just not being taught to you the way that you needed it. It's because they didn't do those branches, right? They went off over here for the neurotypical students and you got bored. And when you got bored, your brain started thinking about other things of interest because that's the other thing about an ADHD brain. As soon as it's bored, well, I'm going to start thinking about all the other things I need to do or I have interest in or I want to do, or I'm going to go find a video or whatever. You know what I mean? It's got to constantly have that stimulation going.
Yeah.
And so when you're bored, you just check out. And then teachers don't understand that it's not that the child isn't capable or they're not interested in a subject. It's just that you're not tailoring it to who they are as a learner. And that's where you've lost them.
Or the biggest pet peeve of all my teachers was I went ahead of them.
Because you were probably really, really smart and you got it really fast and you were ready for the next step.
And it was like, okay, so Yaya is like, I opened the computer, I learned the mouse. Then mm-hmm. I learned everything else and they're still on opening the computer. I've set up my computer. I've learned the mouse. I've learned every little aspect of it. Oh, okay, this is how this works. This is how this works. This is how this works. Okay, I got it. Internet. Yeah. I mean, literally within about 10 minutes, I can learn something very basic and run with it.
And you're probably good at teaching yourself stuff too. Figuring it out as you go and teaching it to yourself. Especially if it's something that you want to achieve or something that you want to do, right? Like I taught myself how to write HTML code one night just because I wanted to be able to do something. I couldn't do it again. I did it just in that like short snippet of time because I really wanted to achieve something. And in order for me to do that, I had to be able to write HTML. So I sat there, taught myself HTML just so I could make the one thing. And then I've never used it again. And I do that all the time.
But it's so easy. It's like the brackets. I just wanted to give me the brackets. Okay, that's what I put in there. Okay, I got it. And I've done it so many different times. The only thing I have to do is that download. It's like you have to have a download. Yeah. So you have to have a trigger. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. And so this is something that you literally are showing me that I just may be ADHD and don't even know it.
And there's a lot of women, I would say, our age too, who are like that, because it was not a thing when we were young and in school. ADHD was hyperactive. Little boys, when we were the squeaky wheels, we'll call them, right? The ones who couldn't stay in their seat,
all the tomboys, place,
right? Those were the ones who got identified. Little girls didn't get identified because little girls don't have those kinds of behaviors. Little girls are daydreamers, they're too social. Do you know what I mean? We were all those other things.
So
nobody raised a red flag for us, but we still got all those negative messages too, right? Because there were probably things in school that we weren't interested in, and our brain was like, I'm good because I'm not interested in this. Or, you know, there's a lot of anxiety that sometimes comes with ADHD too, because there's this perfectionism tendency that's there, or you're trying to mask it because of those negative messages, you don't want peers to see you as being weird or different in any kind of way. So we had a lot of, I would almost call it school trauma. And then we had to spend like 10 years after, you know, we got out of high school trying to like rebuild ourselves back up from all those negative messages we had gotten since we were really young, and go, wait, actually, I'm actually really smart. Like, I can actually do a lot of things that I didn't realize I could do. But it's sad that it took us that, because I feel like I lost a lot of my 20s just not being confident in who I was or what I was capable of, because I was still working on this narrative of what had been given to me when I was in school.
Yeah. So tell me about what you're doing to help to bring that realization to people like me who didn't realize it. And I mean, you know, I kind of figured it out, but I was like, nah, I couldn't be, you know what I mean? It's like denial, but you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you walk into a room and there's a million things you want to do and you try to focus on it and you can't, you just can't. It's just, you got to do this now. And I'm the kind of person where I walk into a room, if one specific pet peeve is not done, I have to literally do that before I can even do anything else. Cause that's all I see.
No, I get it. I completely get it. And what I try to do is, one, I try to bring awareness to it in a sense that I think there's so many negative connotations around it.
There are.
I try to break that down, that it's not negative. There's nothing wrong with the way that your brain is working or looking at things or processing things. In fact, you have a lot of gifts. You have a lot of gifts that other people don't have, that ability to learn quickly, that ability to become an expert in things that you're interested in, you know, that ability to be incredibly creative, and probably you have tons of ideas. Now, does it come with, you know, sometimes executing all of them can be difficult. Sometimes organizing all of it can be difficult, right? I'm hitting on a couple of things, right? But you still have all of these gifts. And unfortunately, the negative connotation that comes around, and why I think sometimes people don't want to admit to themselves maybe that I should look into it, or this, it's because there's that negative context that, oh, there's something wrong with you if your brain, no, there's not. There is not anything wrong. It kills me that in order for students to get support who are neurodiverse, that they have to have a special education label on them at school, because it's
not disabled a special or something. What are we, special needs?
But it's not. It is, but it's not. It
do
really
I get a disability check for this?
Right. And there's nothing wrong with having a disability. You know, if you have a disability and you need special education services, then you need special education services. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it, but it's.
But I don't like that we label kids who really the only thing that is going on is the fact that their brain is processing information differently, that now they have to have the stigma attached to it or this negative connotation attached to it when it's not.
Does it make
their
sense?
Brain just works differently. So part of what I do is try to send this message of breaking down this stigma. I'm always open with youth that I'm ADHD. I embrace the fact that I'm ADHD. I see it as a positive thing, not a negative thing. And then I work with families, working with students. Usually I have found, at least in my professional career, that most of my students with mental health needs are also neurodiverse. And I think it is because of that negative connotation that comes with it. And so I work directly with families and students to make sure that schools are giving them the supports and services that they need, that I go to meetings with families. I talk to schools about trying to really break down what's going on and what's happening with the students so that they really can see the student for who they are.
Right.
And not for other reasons. I'll give you a kind of an open-ended example. I've worked with students in the past where schools will say, oh, they have a behavior problem, or there's a behavior issue and there's emotional disability. They were neurodiverse and they were not they were getting frustrated or overwhelmed. And then what the behavior was a manifestation of their frustrations. It wasn't the root cause. The root cause was the fact that they're not getting instruction to who they are as an individual. And we all have different levels of frustration tolerance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't change. Even neurodiverse, we all have different levels of frustration tolerance. And kids will sometimes, if they can't communicate what that frustration is, they'll show you what frustration is. But it all came down to the fact that kids are getting frustrated and feel bad about themselves when they get these messages that are not, in my opinion, accurate messages or reflections of who they are as an individual or what they are capable of achieving.
Wow. And that's good. What you're doing is great. I wish we had that back in my day. You know, I was always labeled as a tomboy. And like you said, I wish it didn't take you or me so long to figure out what we really truly are and how smart we really are. Being creative is something I've always been, and I have to be hands-on. I think a lot of people have to be hands-on when you're like this. You have to get in there. You have to do it. Because if you can teach it to me, then okay, that's great. Technically speaking, I can read an instruction manual, but give me the pieces in front of me and then give me the manual and now let me do it. Mm-hmm. And just leave me alone. So that's pretty much how that works. Now, you know, adults doing this and then now your podcast, how is that helping people?
I'm really hoping that it's starting to break down stigma. I think the only way to break down stigma is to talk about it and talk about things that people have been afraid to talk about or admit in the past. I think there's a lot of adults who maybe they even know that they're neurodiverse. Maybe they know they have high functioning autism. Maybe they know they're ADHD. But I think you get even with mental health, you know, I went through a period of time where I dealt with anxiety and depression pretty significantly. And I can remember people I worked with saying, don't tell anybody, you know, people will look at you a certain way or that, you know, they won't think that you're stable or capable of things. And so keep that to yourself. And so I feel like the podcast is opening up a place for conversation because that's the only time that we're going to be able to start to break down these walls is when you start to see people who are successful or have achieved things or are capable who still have dealt with mental health needs or being neurodiverse. And so that stigma or those stereotypes around what those people can achieve or what they can do starts to get broken down. Like as an example, I give Simone Biles a lot of credit in the Olympics. You know, she decided that her mental health was being significantly impacted and she took a stand on it. And I know there's a lot of controversy around that, but I think the bigger message or takeaway was that people saw that somebody who was an elite athlete still deals with mental health needs. And she decided to set boundaries around that. And so to me, that's how you start to make change. You know, it comes on small, but hopefully over time, the more people who get brave enough to speak up and say, yeah, I did deal with this, or I am this person, or this is my diagnosis, it starts to break down those walls and barriers. I think there's been too much fear around what will people think of me? How will people see me? What will be this negative connotation? And I get why that fear is there, but the only way to get rid of that is for us to start talking about things. So that's really the purpose of the podcast is to start talking about things and maybe even start showing things in a new perspective. And I link a lot of it to this idea of growth mindset and really trying to help people have moments where, I hadn't thought of it that way before, or I had never stopped to think that that's the perspective of that person. So I'm going to expand now my understanding or my knowledge of this based off this information that I'm receiving.
Wow. And that's a lot. That's a lot. But I mean, you know, I understood every little bit of it because it branches out, you know, it's like, okay, so you have this one mind and all of a sudden, you know, most people don't, they maybe think two ways, one way or the other. I'm more like this, where I got to have like all of these branches from this one thing. I just have to, you have to give me every possible direction that I can go in. And then maybe I'll choose five and try all five. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people don't realize that for us, that's normal. It's like you said, there's no stigmatism. And I would love for people to know where they can go to listen to you so that maybe they could actually understand their minds, because maybe we just don't understand why we think the way we think and how we can regulate it. With me, my problem isn't learning it. It's teaching it. I know so much. I get confused as to how do you put all of that into a book.
Mm-hmm. You, no, and, I know and, exactly what you're saying.
How do you do that? I could talk a book, but type a book? Mm-hmm. That's going to be an interesting thing because there's too many branches.
You know, it's so funny that you said that because I'm actually writing a report for a client and I was telling my husband the other night, I was like, if I could just sit here and tell them what my thoughts and my opinions were, it's so easy. But when I have to sit down and try to like formulate it out in writing, my brain is just like, this is so boring. I don't want to do it. Ask me about it and I can give you all sorts of information. So I know exactly what you're saying. And I was also thinking too, like, as you were talking about your branches, one of the things that often come up with people who are ADHD is this idea of a delayed processing time, that you need more process. And I do. I tell people all the time, like, I need more, like, ask me a question, come back to me in like 20 minutes. I'll give you a much better answer because my brain needs to noodle on it. But I don't think what people realize is it's kind of that those branches that you talked about is the reason why I need the processing time. It's not because my brain is slow. It's because my brain is literally going through like 500 different analytical outcomes that could possibly occur based off your one question that you asked me. And so it just needs the time to run through all of those scenarios before I can give you like my solid answer. So it's not that my brain is slow. If anything, my brain is really fast. It's that my brain just needs the time because it is being so analytical and so deep that it could give you like, well, this could happen or this could. And that's why sometimes anxiety creeps in with ADHD. And that is because our brain also can see all the million ways that it could go wrong on top of how it could also go right. And then that's where some of that anxiety creeps in. But to answer your question, people can come and visit me. The easiest way kind of to link out to me on everything is to visit me on my website, which is www.theneurodiverseteacher.com. There's links there to my advocacy work. There are links there to my podcast, to all my social media pages. So that is the easiest way to come and find me is, again, www.theneurodiverseteacher.com.
Wow. And you know what I found? And just to kind of maybe give like, you know, like a maybe a synopsis of, you know, teaching or writing reports. I literally get behind the camera and say, hey guys, it's me, Yaya. And I'm going to go ahead and go through this whole report thing. And I have, you know, I have charts. I have like my board behind me and I'll go through it on a video and then I'll transcribe the video. Then I'll edit the video. Send it both because I can't do that. I can't. If I sit down to write, my brain has to think of one way of doing it.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yep.
There's too many different ways to do it. So,
but I like how you came up with something that works for your brain. And that's what I think a lot of people with ADHD don't realize. Like, yeah, you know, maybe not everybody does what you just did, but that works for you. And that's a strategy that you use to help you compensate for that fact that, okay, writing is hard for me, but I have this way that I can make it happen if I do it like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what I do because I can't do it any other way.
I love it. But I love it. I love that. That's a great idea. And you know what? I think it's great because I hope other people hear that because sometimes, you know, not everybody's process works for everybody, even though you're all ADHD, but sometimes there are people who are ADHD who go, oh, that was perfect. Why haven't I thought of that? I'm going to do that now because that will work for me too. Yep. So I'm glad that you said that.
I am happy too. And I'm glad that you made me realize how ADHD I really, truly am.
Welcome to the club. It is an amazing club to be in. But, you know, but it also, once you realize that that's what you are, like that you have ADHD and you start to learn more and more about it, it really starts to make your life make a little bit more sense too. And it really kind of helps you unearth a little bit of who you are and what you've dealt with and what you've gone through. And it just really starts, your life starts to click and make sense. And you're like, that's why. And some of maybe you have like some things that you're always like, is this normal? Am I the only one who does this weird thing? You will find that like there are so many people who do that, that it's just like kind of part, it's not a personality trait. It's like an ADHD thing. So welcome to the club. We're happy to have you here.
Woo woo. I'm ADHD. Well, that explains a lot. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you figured out right now and you did not know that you just might have a little touch of ADHD. You got a lot of branches going on here that you can't really focus. You get bored easily when it's just one thing. you know, you go ahead of the teacher or you just ignore the teacher. I mean, all of these things can be a part of ADHD. You need to go ahead and tune in to this podcast right here down below. One more time. Say that podcast name one more time.
The Neurodiverse Teacher Podcast.
That's where you need to be. Or we're going to go ahead and put the website. We're going to put the podcast. We're going to put all that information in the description box below. So that way you guys can go ahead and go down there and check it out for yourselves. Look, I am ADHD. Now that I know I am, I've done so many wonderful things with my life that it just never occurred to me that I might be a little different, but I'm definitely not out of this world. Okay. And I know I'm very smart and I know that I can do a lot of different things. And so can you. So check it out for yourselves, guys. I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to dare to be different. And don't forget to check out that podcast down there. All right, guys, until next time. Bye. I dare to be different.